All right, we are taking the time to take a look at what the Scripture says about spiritual gifts. Now, there are kind of two takes on it. Sometimes people in ministry, because of the disagreements that exist about the gifts, just don't even talk about it. But there's a problem there, because there are about four specific areas in the New Testament that speak about these gifts that God gives to his people and empowers them. Now, another danger that is encountered is that sometimes so much emphasis is placed upon these special abilities that God gives that people overlook all of the other stuff that God's already told us to do, all right? So we're taking time to take a look at it, and we want to identify, and here's why, you know, I initially started out to give a very brief description of the spiritual gifts, but I thought I think it'd be better for us to do a little more investigation of them and talk about it a little bit more. And here's what I want to ask us as a church to do. I want, as we talk about these in the next couple of weeks, I hope today to get into some of the gifts, spiritual gifts, but I want to ask you, in the context, what we're talking about, to think about your life as a follower of Jesus Christ in gatherings, churches, and how God has used different people who have willingly used their abilities to bless you and to help you and to help you grow and to help you be strengthened as a believer. And to also think about how God has put it upon your heart and given you the desire to use what he's blessed you with to help others. And that's what I want us to think about. That is kind of the overarching thought here. So let's bow and pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. I'm going to quickly review what we covered last week, not point for point, but I want to touch on some of the major things that we touched on, just so we're all on the same page, and then we'll move forward. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for eyes and ears and a mind that can comprehend what you've done for us. And Lord, help us to see your purposes and what you have for those that you've redeemed. Lord, not only blessings, not only the good things that we cherish, but Lord, the call that you have put upon each believer, that you've got some purposes for us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your call, to what you have determined for us to do. And help us to take a look at this and to be instructed, to be motivated, and Lord, to use what you've blessed us with to bless others. And please help us now as we look at it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we began last week with this thought, that as you look back over church history, the work of God with his people, what is evident, many things are evident, but a couple things stand out. And one is this: the existence of many small groups of people, not necessarily large gatherings. We often make the mistake of equating value, strength with large numbers, but when you have many groups, and maybe they're small and maybe they're large, that are participating, using their talents and abilities and gifts, what happens is that you can see that there's been spiritual renewal, that great things have happened. There'd been people who've been turned to God, and God's purpose is pushed forward. That's important to make note of. We brought forward a definition of a spiritual gift, and there are many that people have kind of pulled together, but here's one. A spiritual gift can be described as a God-given, God-ordained spiritual ability through which Christ enables his church to carry out its task on earth. Here's a shorter definition. A spiritual gift is a spirit-given ability for Christian service, all right? And we began by saying, here are some basic principles that we see in Scripture. One is this: every child of God has a spiritual gift or gifts. And you may be here today and maybe shaking your head and saying, I don't see any spiritual gift in my life. I don't see how God's given me anything. Well, friends, the truth is, Scripture says you and I are gifted as followers of Christ. Let's take a look and see where it says it, where it lays it out for us. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Paul is addressing the church, the people in Corinth, and they got a lot of issues. As we said last week, the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians are letters that were problem-solving letters, okay? The book of Romans is a theological document laying out what is believed for the believers. But in Corinth, they were in a mess. And Paul writes, since you read through it, he writes trying to deal with problems. And one of the problems was that they were gifted, and they were very much on top of this thing of their gifts, but there was a lack of love. There was a lack of consideration for one another and their gifts. And there was also a sense of superiority. Well, I have this ability, I have this gift, and somehow I am more important to this group because I have that. And Paul addresses it directly. But let's take a look at this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Every child of God, every Christian has been given some manifestation of the Spirit. Okay? In God's family of grace, no one is left out. And God doesn't just tell us to serve. He gives us tools for the task, and I'm glad for that. You know, something that we touched on last week, and that is this, that all Christians are to have an active part in the furtherance of God's purposes, the gospel, and the building up of other believers, all Christians. And as we said last week, every culture has its own cultural distinctives or dynamics, okay? If you step back as an American, you can see some things about Americans. And, you know, if you've ever been privileged to live out of the country, sometimes you get to view things, you know, from a different perspective. And we did for 7 years. We lived out of the country, and we were able to see. And I'm thankful for our country, but we have our own DNA, okay? Pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We're very independent-minded. Sometimes we go off the chart, off the rails with that independence, but it's a good thing. There are some cultures that do not move unless everybody moves together, okay? And so those are just cultural distinctives. One of the things and how that relates to the church is that somehow it's come to the place where people think, well, going to church is just going and showing up and basically punching the clock. I've been there, done that. Check that off the list. What's next? Whereas when you read the New Testament, you realize, no, it is a more, it's a life-encompassing concept. All right? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be here every single day of the week, every night of the week. Some churches like doing that. We're not too much on board with that. But we are to consider ourselves a body, and the body is supposed to operate together. And so all Christians are to have an active part in the furtherance of the gospel and the building up of other believers. Let's take a look at a verse that we read last week, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. This is Peter addressing believers, and he says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now, what does it say? Read that with me. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. And our attitude should be, I'm a child of God. I have by his grace received some spiritual ability. And with his help, I will discover and put to work my ability or abilities, building up other believers and extending the church's ministry. That is the attitude that we should have. Now, another one of these principles is this, that these gifts that we receive are not all the same. More than once, Paul used the analogy of the human body with all of its many members, eyes, ears, hands, feet, to illustrate the different gifts in the church, all right? And the parts, the different parts of our bodies all have their purpose, okay? The hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, every part of our body There's a difference, but they must all work together, and that's important, and that's what he was getting at there. The body is what he makes reference to, and each part belongs to the body as a whole. There's a verse I want us to take a look at here, and it's important for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. Paul talks about the human body, and he relates it to the body of Christ and how each of us have an important role to play. And I'm not going to get into it there. You can read it, verses 12 through 21. But what he gets to is this. He says in verse 25, "This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad." You know, there's an attitude that does exist, and that is this. You know, I can't really be bothered with all of that. I'm only concerned with enjoying my relationship with God. There is that attitude of, hey, don't tell me about what's going on. I'm not interested. All I'm concerned about is me and God. We're working it out. And as you and I read the scriptures, if you're really paying attention, you realize it's not just about us. It's about what God wants to do through us to bless others. And he goes on to say in verse 27, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are a part of it." We said last week that the Holy Spirit determines who gets what gifts. You can find that in chapter 12 and verse 11. We don't choose. And because they are grace gifts given by God, there's no need for arrogance or a sense of superiority. We should just recognize we've been blessed by God to bless others, and so we don't need to hold ourselves above others as a result. I want to today, and I'm not sure if I got to this last week, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told a parable, and starting in verse 14, did we touch on Matthew 25 last week? Does anybody remember this passage? Matthew 25? Did not? Okay. I couldn't remember, so let's take a look at this. Matthew 25, Jesus tells this parable, starting in verse 14, tells a story, and he tells a story to illustrate the importance of the faithful use of what God has given us. So let's read here. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip." Friends, you want to know how God wants things to operate? Take a look when Jesus is telling these parables, and he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what God proposes for things to be worked out like. Let me read here. He says this, "He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. So the servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more.' Master was full of praise. 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more.' The master said, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the handling of this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I know you are a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, Even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant to outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what he was getting at here, friends? To use what we've been given. To use what we've been given. And what it seems to indicate is God knows what our capabilities are. You know, you don't have to worry if you're doing your job as good as somebody else. You just need to be concerned, am I using what God has given me? Am I taking the resources that he's blessed me with and using them for his purposes? God rewards faithfulness. And these bags of silver represent the resources that we have been given by God. So that's a great motivation for us to realize God, he knows what we're capable of, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad I don't have to sit in my office and worry, you know, why can't I put messages together like so-and-so preacher? I don't have to worry about that. I just need to take what God has given me and to the best of my ability and asking his help to do the best I can, and that's it. And I'm glad for that. Well, what spiritual gifts are not? Let's take a look a bit this morning. What spiritual gifts are not? First of all, spiritual gifts are not the same as talents. Not the same as talents. To a big degree, you know, certainly talents are, we believe that God gifts common grace, blesses all mankind. But genetics and effort and practice help people with talents. Spiritual gifts are somewhat different. Though they are both gifts from God and both can grow in effectiveness with use, there is a difference. But let's stop for just a second and think. Both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for the Lord's glory. Would you agree with that? You know, as a person who has been interested in music since I was not even a teenager, and I would hear certain songs, and there was an interest, and it's been that way. I'm 63 years of age now, and I'm still looking for new songs, and I even listen to some of the old ones I listened to way, way back. You know, talents, we're blessed with abilities that we can use and we can work on, but spiritual gifts, there's something different about them. Spiritual gifts focus on these things that push forward God's purposes. Talents can be used to inspire, to instruct, or to entertain, but spiritual gifts relate to the building up or the spiritual growth of believers and the church. Spiritual gifts are designed to help bring eternal change, spiritual change to people. You know, something supernatural happens when a gift is exercised. It's God working beyond even our own abilities. And I think about, you know, musical ability, a talent. Certainly a talent, if you're blessed with a talent, I think about our three kids and our oldest son would watch me play the guitar, and he started playing the guitar, and he got better than I could ever be. He worked on it. When we were down in the islands, there was not as many distractions as we have here, not as many things to do. He would go and play guitar 3 hours a day, and the stuff he learned in those teenage years was amazing. Our daughter, Ashley, picked up the guitar when it was as tall as she was. I got a picture of her holding a guitar, and it was about as big as she was, and she began to sing. Our middle guy, Andy, he couldn't hit a lick on a guitar, and he didn't care. He tried, but he just didn't. So we have talents, and it's amazing. If today we were to think about all the different abilities and talents you and I all have here in this congregation, we'd be amazed. Now, a talent can be developed, but it's not necessarily a spiritual gift. It is possible that somebody could take their musical ability and the spiritual gifts of encouragement, of evangelism, of prophecy could be manifested through that talent. I want you to think about this now. You have some folks who got up today. They weren't paid. I think I'm the only one who's paid to be up on the stage there. These folks did it voluntarily and came up and used their abilities to sing, to play instruments. And through that, can I ask, was anybody encouraged in your spirit this morning by the worship, by the songs? Were any of you reminded of truths that that God brought home to your heart? That's what we're talking about, the use of our talents and spiritual gifts, all right? Spiritual gifts, we're talking about what spiritual gifts are not, okay? Spiritual gifts then are not necessarily talents, but they're not also offices. The New Testament mentions several offices: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, deacon. And these offices belong to the church to provide organization and leadership. Spiritual gifts help to empower the people who are filling those offices, okay? So the offices and the gifts to serve in those offices are Christ's gifts to the church to equip believers there. I want us to look at a passage, Ephesians chapter 4, because it spells it out somewhat. Ephesians 4, I'm going to read verses 11 and 12, and we're going to see them again, but let's take a look now. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I think we mentioned this last week, that the concept is this, that you often see in churches, and that is, look, Bruce, you and the staff are the paid professionals. We pay to come in here, and you guys do your thing. But friends, that's not the right take on this. And we touched on it last week. Paul lays it out. The early church, early on, he says this is how it should be. Those who lead, those who equip, are to be equipping each and every one who is a child of God, who is a believer, and to regard that each of you are also ministers. Does anybody know what that little sign says on the way out on the left-hand side? Some of you may say, what sign, Bruce? Yeah, some of you say, what sign? I've never seen any sign out there. We're not always attentive to things. What's it say again? You are now entering your mission field. And as you and I regard that, hey, we are ministers of Christ, we're called to be his servants. We're called to take the light, his light, to the world. And so that's an important understanding there, and one that's often overlooked. I think we mentioned last week, too, that unfortunately what has developed is a kind of a celebrity culture surrounding servants of Christ. You know, there you got your preachers, and the preachers who preach in big congregations or on TV, they're in a sense a celebrity type individual. That's not what we read about here. What we read about is that God equips his people through those who teach, those who lead, those who establish congregations to strengthen the body of Christ. And that's so important. Now, hopefully a person in a particular office has a spiritual gift pertaining to that office, okay? Sometimes people attain into a position or an office, but they're not gifted for that, and it becomes evident, okay? It just is not working like it should. And that's important to know in the life of a church, and to recognize, hey, let's pray that those who rise to positions of leadership and those who are in places of spiritual formation in a church also have the spiritual gifts, the abilities to help that to happen. That's important. Here's another principle, and that is this: a spiritual gift becomes practically useless when it's used without love. And that's so important. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to first, Eddie, if you'd go to 12 and verse 31, please. So in chapter 12, Paul is addressing the problems with that congregation regarding spiritual gifts. And he says this in verse 31. He says, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. He's saying, look, if you want to serve and you want God to use you and to bless others, desire those gifts that are most beneficial for the church. But look what he says next. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And this is what's called the love chapter. So let's take a look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 13. Paul says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Friends, in this list, Paul touches on several of the spiritual gifts that we're going to be talking about in the weeks ahead. And what he's saying is, look, you may be gifted in this area, but if you're not using that gift in love, it's practically useless. Let me ask you to think about this. Have you ever encountered, maybe been in a church situation, maybe it's here, maybe it's me, who's trying to use their spiritual gift, but there's a lack of love? Does that go over real well with you? I would say it doesn't, okay? And we've maybe encountered that. And maybe we ourselves, you know, to be real honest, we ourselves have fallen short in that way too. All right? So this is an admonition for us to say, look, spiritual gifts being used by God, if there's a lack of love there, it's not really happening the way it should happen. Okay, here's another principle. Spiritual gifts are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to set up spiritual gifts and kind of compare them with what's called the fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life, all right? So spiritual gifts are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. Let's read Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Paul writes this. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. By the way, if you are a child of God, by faith you've come to Him, and you say, Lord, I've trusted in you for my eternal salvation, but I realize that this thing of a life with you encompasses not just me going to heaven, but also what's going on here in my life and how I live my life. So look what he says here. He says, these are the kind of things that God wants to work into our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. How many of you like some more of that? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And listen to what he says there. There is no law against these things. You know what? You're in good territory if you're pursuing these things. These are called the fruits of the Spirit. Gifts, spiritual gifts, have to do with service, with how God, remember what we said, a definition. God gives us abilities to help to serve others, to help push forward his purposes, to build others up. But the fruit of the Spirit has to do with character. With character. I'm going to just do a quick rundown. Gifts have to do with what a person has. Fruit of the Spirit has to do with what a person is. Gifts of the Spirit, all gifts are not possessed by every believer. In fact, Paul says that in Chapter 12, we're not going to turn to it. You want to take a look at it. It's verses 29 through 31, where he lists off a number of the spiritual gifts, and he says, does everybody have all these gifts? And he says, emphatically, of course not. We recognize that. But the fruits of the Spirit, each type, should be in every believer. And here's something important, friends, for us to get a hold of. I want to ask you really to tune in on this. The possession of a spiritual gift or the powerful exercise of a spiritual gift is not always the best indicator of spiritual maturity. I'm going to repeat that. The possession of a spiritual ability, a spiritual gift, or the powerful exercise of a spiritual gift is not always the best indicator of spiritual maturity. Manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is a more likely indicator of spiritual maturity. Now, I'm going to ask you, those who've been a part of the body of Christ, you've been connected with other believers, and you've observed that you say, boy, that person is gifted. Maybe it's been a teacher. Maybe it's been a preacher. Maybe it's been somebody who sings or plays an instrument, and through their song, you're touched. You're moved spiritually. Has anybody ever encountered somebody who is able to do that, but they certainly are not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in their life? Anybody run across that before? Okay. It happens. And so sometimes we are wowed and we are drawn in because we recognize, boy, God is doing something in a great way through this person. But then sometimes we're shocked when we realize, boy, something's not adding up here. And that ought to make us kind of pay attention, all right? Spiritual maturity is what it's talking about. Now, let me give you a couple examples. There was a judge in the Old Testament by the name of Samson. Does anybody remember the story? Samson continued to perform incredible feats long after he was out of touch with God. The very church that Paul addresses here, Corinth, by all accounts, was exceptionally gifted. There must have been a lot of things going on there, but that church was also riddled with problems, with divisions, with a lack of love, with a disregard for other believers. And you know, it's possible for a church to have an abundance of gifts and abilities, but at the same time be full of envy and discord and a lack of love. Mark this down. It is better to be godly than to be gifted. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
All right. So that's important what we talk about. I got two more thoughts here. Man, I am just finishing up last week's message. I didn't even get started with this week. But this is important for us. Here's the last thing, and then I got a couple questions, and I am going to wrap it up today. The absence of a gift in our lives does not excuse us from obeying clear-cut commands in Scripture, okay? Because we may look at our lives and say, I recognize that I'm not, I don't have that gift of mercy. That's one of them, by the way, the gift of mercy, and we'll get to it in the weeks ahead. Does that mean that we should just be unmerciful? Now, what the gift of mercy is just a above and beyond ability to feel people's hurts and needs and to extend mercy. It just goes even beyond. Let me just give you a couple more examples. You and I might not have the spiritual gift or ability of giving. That's one of the spiritual gifts. And I'll tell you what, I've seen folks in the church, you know, we're all supposed to give, but I've seen folks who God has put it on their heart and given them the ability, and man, they love to help. And they just, it's something they just love to do. It fires them up. And it makes their life in Christ so real. Now, just because we might not have that gift or that ability, we still have been instructed to be generous, to tithe, to support God's purposes financially. Even if we do not have a spiritual gift, that God-given ability in a certain area, we as Christians are still obligated to obey His commands, and there are plenty there for us. We make a mistake when we focus so much on a spiritual gift that we miss other opportunities to serve Him. Now, just a couple questions and we'll be finished today. And I want to ask you to really think about this. Are you aware of your special area of service? Have you considered it? Some folks would maybe be honest and say, we're not going to ask everybody here today. I'm just asking you to think about it. Have you gone before the Lord and say, Lord, how have you wired me? What have you blessed me with? What have you empowered me with so that I can bless the body, that I can bless others like I've been blessed? Let me stop for just a second. How many of you, as you think back on your journey as a follower of Christ, can look back and say, you know what, that person years ago who invested in my life, who gave when I had a need, who taught me, who showed up and serve. Do you know one of the gifts is what's called the gift of helps, of simply serving? Yesterday at our men's prayer breakfast, Gerald made mention of one of our brothers in the church who serves so gladly. And Most of you may not even know what the brother does, but he comes every Sunday morning and he takes the blower and blows all the leaves and all the stuff that's blown onto the driveway over the week. Does it every week. Wipes down the handrails. How many of you are glad the handrails were wiped down when you come to church? All right? I'm glad for that. Friends, we need to be considering, hey, what can I do? What is it that God has put on my heart that I see as I look at my life that he can use me to bless others and to push forward his purposes? Now, here's the next question. If so, are you exercising the gifts that God has given you? Are you looking for opportunities to serve him? And then it just brings up another question. Will you use your gifts to strengthen and encourage God's people? Will you use those gifts that God has given you? Remember the story, the parable that Jesus told? He had three guys and gave one five bags of silver, another one two, and another one one. And he went away for a while. When he came back, there was an accounting. What'd you do with it? What'd you do with that? And friends, I want us today to consider, what am I doing with what God has blessed me with? Am I using my resources? Now, we can't do it all. God doesn't call us to do it all. But if you think about it, there is something that you can do to bless others, to push forward his purposes, to help his work go forward. And that's what this is all about. All right? Let's all stand. We're going to wrap things up this morning with a prayer and ask you to think about this. It may be today you would just honestly say, you know, I've never even thought about it in those terms, Bruce. I hate to just be blunt, but my concept of church is I show up, you do your thing, and when I go home, I'll comment on what I think you did. You know, I was thinking this morning that you sometimes hear somebody will leave and they'll say, I didn't get anything out of that today. But I thought about that. You know, now, certainly we pray, those who serve, Lord, help people to get something for their lives. But I want to flip that script this morning. I want to ask this. You know, instead of people saying, what did I get out of it? What am I bringing to it? What did I give this morning in this worship service? And I'll tell you what, if you look at it that way, you'll be on track with what Paul is writing about. What did I give? You may think this morning, I didn't give anything. Let me tell you, if you stuck your hand out with a smile and welcomed somebody, if you gave somebody a hug, if you asked somebody, how's your week been? If you put something in the plate, even if you took something out of the box, you brought something this morning. In fact, you brought your presence, yourself, and that's important. So, friends, this is what we're considering, how God has gifted his people the ability to keep his work going. And I want to ask you in these weeks that we talk about some of this stuff is to be thinking, hey, God, can you use me in this way? And certainly be thinking, hey, what am I bringing to the work of Christ? And move away from that whole scenario or paradigm or any template or anything you want to call it of I'm just showing up and I'm a spectator. To consider, hey, I'm a part of the body of Christ and I have been gifted to do something. God, what can I do? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of this very issue. And Lord, help us not to be swept along with the culture, even the culture of the church, but Lord, to look to what you have to say about it, and help us, Lord, each one to consider how you've gifted us and how we could be used to bless others, to help others to grow, just as people have helped us to grow. And Lord, please speak to hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.